Good evening. Well, I've spent the last 4 years listening to them and people like them, and it's been a blessing. So, going to OCU, I never thought I would be speaking after them, but this past week I've accomplished that many times, and it's been a blessing. Well, Brother Benny told us last night that it's not the length of the prayer, it's the strength of it. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not the length of the message, it's the strength of it. But before I get started, I usually like to tell, before I preach in a new place, I like to tell everyone a little bit about myself. I grew up here, probably 5-10 miles down the road. I started going to Bethel Congregational Methodist Church when I was 9 years old. I started coming to this camp when I was 10. When I was 13, I gave my life to Christ on a mission trip to Mexico. But when I was 18 was when I started actually telling God, wherever you want me to go, send me and I'll go. When I was 20, I was going to Fort Valley State University. I was asking God to send me wherever He wanted me to. I'll go, just send me. I didn't really hear anything from Him for a while because I kind of blamed that on myself because I prayed for patience. And when you pray for patience, God will put things in your life to test your patience. So I was just asking God, what career path does He want me to go down? So I was 20 years old, going to Fort Valley State University. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be a U.S. Marshal or an Air Marshal. And then a year later, I felt like God was talking to me. It was during my spring semester, going to Fort Valley State. During spring break, we were at Bethel. I couldn't tell you what the pastor was preaching on, but I just felt like he was telling me to go to the altar. And as soon as I went to the altar, I just remembered all those times I told people, well, they told me I would make a good youth pastor. And I told them I wouldn't do it unless God asked me, told me to. Well, He was telling me. And so God told me to be a youth pastor. And I was all for it. I was ready. I said, thank you, God, for showing me my path. Well, I was ready to quit school and start preaching. But my mom, you know, she was like, finish school and get your degree as a youth pastor, get your degree in youth ministry. So it came down to it of where would I transfer to? And it was either Asbury or Ohio Christian University. And I was just praying on that and not hearing anything. Still, God's testing my patience. Then it came to time for this camp. I came to the camp. I was going to be a counselor. And I was telling the different teams what God told me to do and what my new path in life is. Well, later in the week, a man named Daniel Lovelace, he was the drummer for Ablaze at the time, and he told me that he needed a roommate, that if I chose to go to Ohio Christian, then let him know and me and him would be roommates. So I took that into consideration, prayed on it, and about a month later, I called him and was like, hey, I feel like God's leading me to Ohio Christian. Is the offer still on the table for me to be your roommate? And he said, absolutely. So I graduated in April, and now I'm back here co-directing the youth with Harley Gentry, and it's just been a blessing because it feels like I'm back where I started. So, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this week, and I thank you for the ministry that I have been able to do. And it's not to glorify me, but it's all to glorify you. Give me the words to say. May your spirit burst into this tabernacle. In your name I pray. Amen. So this past week, me and Harley set a theme for this week, and the theme is from start to finish. Starting the race of Christianity. We went over the characteristics of the race. We went over preparing for the race. We went over sticking to the race. And we went over what is the purpose of the race. But we haven't really hit on the course of the race, the legacy. And that is my message tonight, legacy. And you're probably going to ask me, Dylan, what does legacy mean? Well, legacy is leaving a memory for someone to remember you by. I have a few people that left legacies in my life, left legacies and are leaving legacies. One is my grandfather, and one is my father, Olaf Wainwright and Chris Wainwright. But they didn't always start out. Well, they always wanted to help people. They always wanted to be there for someone. If someone was in need, they were there. But above all else, they were followers of Christ. But they didn't always start out that way. Isn't that right, Dad? Yeah, just shake your head or nod. But they didn't always start out that way. See, there was a man. He was a murderer. He persecuted Christians. He would pull them out of their house and execute them in the streets. See, not all legacies are positive ones. And this man was not leaving a positive legacy. This man's name was Saul. And in Acts chapter 8, 1 through 3, tells a little bit about his life. See, before this scripture, it tells us that there was a man named Stephen. He was preaching in a city. He was proclaiming Jesus Christ's name. But the people of this city hated him for it. They hated him so much that they chased him out of the city and they circled around him, took off their robes, laid it in front of a man named Saul, and they stoned him. And that brings us to chapter 8. So read along with me. Saul was in complete agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. See, Saul was a bad man, taking Christians, people like you and me, out of their homes, throwing them into prison or putting them to death. He even went so far to go to the chief priest and say, write up a documentation. Give me the authority to go all throughout Jerusalem and take men and women out of their homes if they are Christians and throw them into prison. But little did Saul know, he was about to have a legacy change. His life was about to turn upside down. And that brings us to Acts chapter 9, 3 through 19. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem, and there he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. See, Saul had a legacy change. Do you think that people would just understand what happened? Do you think they would believe people for just saying Saul had a legacy change? All right, I'm a youth pastor and I like a little bit of response, so... Nope. See, in Acts 9, 26 and 27, it reads that when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Not believing that he was a disciple, but Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he has spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. See, Saul had a legacy change. But to be honest, for me, for myself, if someone was just telling me that Saul, the man who killed Christians, who was taking my family out of their homes and putting them in prison, I wouldn't believe them. I would tell them to show me. And that's what Saul did. He continued to follow Christ. He continued to live in the name of Jesus. Does anybody remember what Monday was?
Missionary Day.
And can anybody tell me who is the greatest missionary to ever live?
Lazarus.
Lazarus. Okay. Well, you're close, but Saul is the greatest missionary. Later, he changed his name to Paul. See, God changed Saul. He changed his legacy. He turned his life upside down. And some of us out there today are just our legacies. We are going straight. We are going forward. We are living for Christ. But others, they may need a legacy change. And I'm going to ask the band, Tim, Nathan, to come back up.